Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I'm Seth.
And I'm Carly.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And Carly, great to see you again. How have you been?
So good. I took a little bit of time to recover from the jet lag I got from Italy. I always get jet lagged when going west. Just my body.
Oh, yeah.
I know how it is. 2 days, slept it off, and I spent the weekend in Wilmington. So if you are a teen drama fan like me, One Tree Hill is my favorite show of all time. A lot of big shows, productions, movies filmed there. So we went there this weekend, went to the beach. It was just kind of like a relaxing trip, non-theme parky, go with the flow, sleeping in. So it was very nice for a change of pace for me.
That sounds like a fantastic change of pace. I did something similar. You know, the previous week I had family at the theme parks and got lucky because the crowds weren't too bad the previous week, but they really picked up this past week leading up to Easter. So I noped out of the theme parks this past week and instead I took the Brightline train, yet another endorsement.
Yes.
Right line from Orlando down to South Florida to see family, spend a few hours on the beach, have some good Jewish deli food. So it was a perfect little trip and good to be back, though. And before we go any further in today's recording, it is April Fool's Day.
See,
today as we're recording this. I don't even want to say it. And we want to make something very clear. Following the lead of our publisher, Matt, we don't do April Fool's Day here. We no jokes. There are no hoaxes. Everything that we are going to talk about in the news today is actual news. So we don't fall for those viral hoaxes. And we urge you to maybe just put down the social media for the day, or at least don't start typing angry comments about something that is obviously fake.
I like to have as much fun as the next person, probably too much fun. I just think it's lame. Sorry. We have a lot of good, really true news to get into this week. So I am excited for facts.
So if you want April Fool's Day jokes, I'm sorry. You'll have to go somewhere else.
Well, it's very easy. Just go on socials and it's every.
Post. You can't avoid it. But here we are jumping into the real news in the queue. All right, we're going to start out at Tokyo Disneyland, where Marvel characters are coming to the Tokyo Resort for the first time. And they're starting, believe it or not, at It's a Small World. If you are purist who thought the addition of Disney characters to It's a Small World a decade or two ago was a blasphemy, hold on to your hats, because Baby Groot and a whole bunch of child style Marvel superheroes are going to be inserted into the Classic Fantasyland attraction this in winter of 2025 for what we think is going to be a limited time. I'm trying to wrap my brain around this.
Yeah, this kind of sounds like a April Fool's joke. I mean, honestly.
It is not. I thought this at first, but no, this is actually for real.
I think the characters are adorable based on the artwork. I also want like a print of this. It's a Small World boat with all the little baby characters and a really cool, whimsical, almost like Joey Chow, you know, the Disney artist. It's got that very whimsical, colorful feel. I think it could be really cute, though.
It has the potential to be adorbs, for sure. It's all a matter of how they manage to make this integrate and fit in with the classic Mary Blair style.
Right.
So I actually, maybe I'm in the minority. I think that when they did it for, I believe it was first for Hong Kong, and then they put it into Disneyland California. I think that the Disney characters that they added to those It's a Small Worlds are fairly subtle and done consistent with the style of the original dolls. So we'll have to see if the same can be said of the Tokyo version. Here's what we do know. The description from Disney reads like this. Groot from the Guardians of the Galaxy film trilogy and his friends from Marvel Studios films are visiting Earth for vacation. Groot encounters his friends in various locations on Earth and experiences their regional cultures and music with them, as well as with children from all over the world.
Okay, the synergy is there. Groot has his little luggage that says, I love Earth.
So my first question is, will this change all of the music in Small World from the children singing the song to just, I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot?
I mean, I don't
people who
know.
Might consider that an improvement.
You know what? The Tokyo audience loves adorable, cute things, as is evident with Duffy and Friends. So maybe they are banking on this to be kind of like a merch tie-in, and they're going to have all the little cute little Groots, you know, Ant-Man, Miss Marvel, just kind of little versions and make it a new character universe. I don't know.
Well, and it actually, this will kind of, as you say, a new character universe. It is a mashup because not only do you have the classic Mary Blair dolls, but the Tokyo version already has the Disney characters integrated into it. So I don't know. This will probably be the first attraction that has Marvel characters alongside classic Disney characters, alongside theme park original characters. This is definitely a multiverse situation. That's the only explanation.
Yes, a lot to wrap your head around. Will be interesting.
We've got a little. We do have a little time to wrap our brains around it because the attraction is going to stay the current It's a Small World until autumn of 2024. So you got most of the rest of this world this year, and then It's a Small World will shut down in autumn temporarily. And then reopen in what they call winter 2025. So I'm hoping they mean early winter, the beginning.
You
of
know
the
what?
Winter,
Disney seasons are like, never exactly.
I have no idea. Yeah.
So it could be really any time for what we know.
And there is no, detail yet whether this is going to be an annual overlay or just a one-time thing. Or when the original will return. From the concept art, we can guess at who the characters are that will be included alongside Groot. Obviously, his other friends from the Guardians of the Galaxy will be along. Yep. Captain Marvel, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Miss Marvel, Black Panther, Hulk, Goose, Mighty Thor, Captain America, Doctor Strange, and the Sorcerer Supreme Wong. And if you have wondered why this is the first time we're getting Marvel characters at Tokyo Disneyland, it's because the rights previously belonged to Universal in Osaka. Yeah. They shut down their Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man ride in January of 2024, which has opened the way for Disney to use the characters.
Yes, so much like in the States, we have our very own Marvel versus Disneyland fiasco. It is interesting to learn about their very own version of it, too.
Yes, we've got some links on our website at attractionsmagazine.com in the story telling you all about the details of that, along with some adorable videos of Groot in the theme parks. If you're interested in visiting Tokyo Disney Resort, we recommend Mouse Fan Travel to help you get there. Next up, it's time to meet the critters that are going to be coming to Tiana's Bayou Adventure, the new replacements for Splash Mountain coming this year to Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
Yes, they are really dragging out these. The opening of this with so many announcements, it's overwhelming.
They are, yes, they are milking every possible detail of this new ride for all it's worth. And this time they've devoted a detailed blog post to the critters that you can see in the concept art who are going to be providing musical accompaniment for the ride. Honestly, I don't know if these are things, characters that we're going to see recurring throughout the ride, or if this is like one scene in the ride that they are just hyping up. We will have to find that out.
Yes, it's very interesting. I don't know if it's the drag out, but they're like in the announcement, we're so excited. It's so, you know, not common to have new characters introduced. So again, I don't know if it's really going to be this big splash or they're just dragging.
Big splash, no pun intended. Well, the story is that Princess Tiana, after the events of Princess and the Frog, she's getting ready to throw a big Mardi Gras party that guests are going to be helping out with. But there's a mix-up, and Tiana needs to find a band. So we have to go to the bayou and find a bunch of musicians at the last minute. And these are the musicians that we find. We've got names and musical instruments for the Critter Band that is going to be featured in the ride. And I don't know, let's go briefly through their names.
It's really detailed again, which makes me really want to know, because we have so many attractions when there's little adorable creatures and we don't really know much about them. Maybe lore creates a name, but there's like each one has their very own unique personality. It's interesting.
Yeah. So we start out with Bahalia the Beaver, who's a dam building percussionist. Gritty the Rabbit, who plays washboard made out of a license plate. And Bo the Opossum, or I think if you're from New Orleans, you probably just call him Bo the Possum. They play the upright bass made out of a gourd, of course, as one does. Apollo the Raccoon plays squeeze box. Rufus the Turtle is on harmonica. And finally, Timoleon the Otter, the eldest member of the band, plays the fiddle.
I think we should make one of those personality tests where you take a quiz.
Right,
and then see which
critter musician are you? Yeah.
I will go first. Obviously, I'm Rufus because I'm always up for an adventure. And he seems really fun. And I love turtles.
It's coming. Yes, coming to your Facebook feed next. The critter personality test. Each one has a more detailed description, which you can find in the article on our website. And it is great to see Disney creating brand new characters for the theme parks and not just recycling previously existing IP. And there's a little video that you can find on Disney's social media with Laura West, who is the concept designer from Imagineering, who came up with these critter characters.
Yes, you're going to want to read all about it, so you're ready to go whenever the attraction opens this summer.
Yes, you're going to want to be hyped so that you spend money on merchandise, such as these super cute plushies that you're going to be able to take home of Bo, Apollo, and Rufus. I guess they just picked three of the critters, assuming that these will be the breakouts, and they are pretty cute.
Yes, so. I agree. I think those will be the breakout stars, especially Rufus.
Well, it's coming to Walt Disney World in the summer and Disneyland before the end of the year. Stay tuned for more details as they are released. Hopping from Disney over to Universal, and we've got a construction update at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter that is coming to Epic Universe in 2025. And it looks like the Fantastic Beasts are on the loose, or at least painted facsimiles of them because they've taken down some scaffolding around the Parisian style buildings, and we've spotted a griffin painted on the side of one.
Yeah, this looks great from what we've seen. This is the land I think many of us are really hyped for. I'm not necessarily a Harry Potter person, but I love the immersive nature of the theme parks and the way they've just kind of nailed the Parisian atmosphere. And now seeing this, I truly cannot wait.
I am excited as a big fan of Epcot's Paris Pavilion, which is a little too small. This looks like a supersized version of that. And I'm very excited to be able to wander around there. I just hope that there is a sidewalk cafe where I can sit and sip coffee for hours and watch people go by, preferably in a romantic rain. we'll see. anyway, if you do not remember Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, and I'll be honest, I watched that one once, and if you held a gun to my head, I could not tell you many details about it. But this is a recreation of Place Cachet, as seen in that film. But, you know, from these photographs of the area as they're taking it down, it really looks like you are not going to have seen the movie to appreciate the scale of these streets, the detail that's going into them. And we've got some great flyover photos, courtesy of BioReconstruct, showing off not just how the buildings are basically complete, but also they are paving the ground already.
Wow. And we talk a lot about the infrastructure because that's what takes the bulk of the time, regardless if the attractions are ready. And that is impressive to see.
And honestly, paving the sidewalks, the pedestrian pathways, is one of the last things you want to do because you need to get all the heavy equipment finished. You don't want to have a crane in, you know, have to roll in there and crack the pavement that you've just laid. So the fact that they are doing this means they are really far along. I'm sure there's lots of interior work to be done. But the exterior construction is wrapping up at a pace that I would not have predicted. And like I said, we've got great aerial photos of the whole project, along with links and videos putting this into context with the rest of Epic Universe, which we'll be talking about a little bit more later in this episode.
Excited.
Now for something completely different. If you are a sweet tooth, if you are a sweet tooth, rewind. If you have a sweet tooth, you are not on the East Coast able to visit, Hershey in Pennsylvania, a new Hershey experience is on its way to Chicago's Water Tower Place that is going to transport Hershey chocolate enthusiasts into a magical world of candy making like never before.
Yes. I thought this was a really interesting announcement because there's really like nothing to it. They literally shared. I don't know. I mean, I wish the announcement had a little bit more splash to kind of make motion because it sounds like it could really be cool, especially if it's anything like Hershey's Chocolate World in Times Square or in Hershey Park, obviously. But the announcement really gives away nothing.
Yeah, we kind of, in our article here, had to use a bunch of pictures of Hershey in Pennsylvania because we don't really have much at all in terms of details for this. What we do know is that this new experience is coming from Original X Productions, which is the group that does things like the Friends Experience, the Office Experience, and the Harry Potter Magic at Play experiences. And these are all basically what I call Instagram museums. They're kind of interactive walkthroughs, semi-interactive walkthroughs that are focused on recreating locations or creating backdrops that you can take photos in.
Interesting, yeah.
So, you know, there's a flagship of the Friends experience in New York, and this is going to kind of be the Hershey's chocolate experience in Chicago. You know, honestly, we don't know exactly what it is. I hope that it's more like, obviously, they, I don't think they're going to have a dark ride like they have, you know, at the Hershey Chocolate World in Pennsylvania. But, you know, maybe they'll have a make your own chocolate bar experience or some
the
kind
Reese's
of
cup experience is really fun, easy to replicate. But yeah, they should give Sally Dark Rides a call.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. So it does look like this is going to be a semi-permanent experience. It's supposed to launch in late summer or early fall. I don't know if there'll be a touring version, but for now you'll have to plan a visit to Chicago to check it out and let us know what exactly it is.
Yes, and go to Three Dots and a Dash and have a tropical cocktail.
Absolutely. Next up, something a little closer to your neck of the woods, Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri, has just opened a brand new roller coaster that is a old classic roller coaster as well. The new version of Fire in the Hole is now open, and it's getting rave reviews from everyone I know who's been on it.
Yes, I haven't gone on it myself, but I've been following this entire thing as, you know, seeing the construction site. And they really, I mean, first off, it's amazing that a theme park has such a beloved attraction that is obviously was very old and said, hey, let's just make a brand new one with the technology and resources that we have today. And so from everyone that I've talked to, it holds that, you know, integrity of the original attraction while, of course, bringing it to the modern age. You know, we have a air conditioned facility, so it is temperature controlled, which is crazy. Yeah. The old building was not, so it got very hot. Obviously updated.
That was part of the special effects because it was fire themed, right?
Yes.
I never got a chance to ride the original, but I've watched a lot of videos, POVs of the new one and the original one. And it really seems like they did a great job of recreating the scenes, the characters, the story that people liked before, but upping the ante, you know, making the special effects more modern. But it's still, you know, it's not too slick. It's still got a little bit of a homemade feel to it, which I like. Anyway, so as you mentioned, they have built a brand new 5-story air conditioned building for the attraction, over 32,000 square feet. And this is what they call their largest, biggest, their biggest investment ever in a single attraction. It's the ride's about 3 minutes long, and it looks like it is really more of a dark ride than a roller coaster. It does have some drops, and it's got a splashdown finale, but the focus is really on the dark ride scenes, 1880s themed to the legend of the Baldknobbers, which I understand is a true story from the region about. People who tried to set fire to the town.
It's like a vigilante group. Yeah, it's a really fascinating story, but yes, it has roots in history. Yeah.
So it was probably something that was absolutely terrifying for the people who had to live through it, and now we've turned it into a theme park attraction. 51-year-old attraction. Definitely has stood the test of time. The original version closed down on December 30th of 2023. So they did a good job of getting this new one up really quick. And
it's in a totally different location.
Yes.
So the building, is a brand new building. They actually kind of expanded and converted one of the like fire department themed areas for the new ride. So it's a brand new show building and whatnot.
I'm curious how much of the original props, you know, or sets were recycled.
Not much. So basically it was just some pieces from like the queue. Like there was this poster that was moved, but pretty much the show scenes, like with the exception of some Easter eggs, are all brand new.
Wow. Well, there's 14 of those show scenes, and they spent $30 million on this, which is a lot of money for a park like Silver Dollar City. It's got a custom soundtrack, and it's a, like I said, family friendly, more dark ride. It does hit 26 miles an hour, but it's got a pretty decent capacity too, because there's 5 ride vehicles with 12 people per train. So it would definitely be on my bucket list if I finally get out there for
one of and these I have days. To mention they're famous. So Silver Dollar City has a lot of like really famous eats, but one of them is their soft pretzels, and they make this like pretzel wrapped hot dog. And it was so popular. It was from this little stand. And now in the land where Fire in the Hole, the new Fire in the Hole is, is an entire pretzel restaurant. And they bought the famous hot dog on a stick wrapped in a pretzel. And when I tell you, it is one of the best things ever. I saw that Matt, our publisher, got one, and I cannot wait to be reunited with it.
That's awesome. Yeah, they've surrounded this with an entire district themed area. And they've named that pretzel cafe after Sadie, who is the wife yelling at her husband in his red pajamas, Red Flanders, who's also got his own shop now with branded merchandise.
Yes, they've done such a great job. I love this park. They really have, you know, kind of that forward thinking theming of, you know, like a Disney level park. Mm-hmm. And you just wouldn't expect it because you're in the middle of the Ozark Mountains. And it's just, it's something you really have to experience because it is one of the best parks I think I've ever been to.
Well, if you want to experience yourself, MEI Travel can help you get there. And now it is time, before we jump into our main attraction, which I just spoiled if you were watching the video. Oops. It is time for us to hear a word from our sponsors.
The Attractions Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Whether your next vacation is a magical trip to the theme parks, an exciting adventure to the pyramids of Egypt, or just a relaxing cruise on the turquoise waters of the Bahamas, MEI Travel provides premium service and expert advice to help you get the most of your vacation. They are always free of any hidden fees or costs to you. Visit them at mei-travel.com.
It's time for the main attraction.
Well, this week's main attraction, I said we were going to be talking more Epic Universe, and Universal dumped a huge pile of information about the first intellectual property themed land they've disclosed, How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk, coming to their new theme park in 2025. And I gotta say, I am not super familiar with this franchise beyond the first film, but seeing all the stuff that's going into this new land makes me want to start diving into the movies.
Yes, I think your sentiment is felt widespread. So many of us have slept on it, myself included, admittedly. Yeah. So seeing this and the artist renderings and the videos that they put out on socials makes me super excited to kind of dive in, because I definitely want to know what I'm going to be experiencing, especially if it looks, as pun intended, epic as it does.
Yes.
And what they're feeding us now.
And this land is absolutely epic. You know, some of the other lands in the new park are only going to have a couple of attractions, but this really looks to me like the most fleshed out land at Epic, with a range of the e-tickets down to those sea tickets and those kind of diversions. It's really got a wide breadth of things for the whole family to do. And I think that even if you aren't super familiar with the How to Train Your Dragons franchise, just from the concept art, this just looks very colorful, visually appealing, and kinetic. And it looks like the kind of area that you're going to want to just hang around and explore.
Or have some meeting, which we'll get to.
Have some meeting. Yes, absolutely. We will get to that. Anyway, so here's the official description of How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk. Guests will take to the skies and soar with dragons as they explore the colorful Viking village at the heart of Berk, where they can take part in wild boat battles, feast like a Viking, and more.
So if you're unfamiliar, like I am, this is also helpful because it actually is taking place between How to Train Your Dragon 2, which came out in 2014, and then the 2019 How to Train Your Dragon: The Hidden World. So it's not
neither of which I have seen
the first one. Yes. So we have our work cut out.
Yes. But I really do believe that just like with, you know, Harry Potter or Super Nintendo, Universal designs these so that they are appealing enough and understandable enough that you don't have to have deep knowledge of the franchises to enjoy wandering around the space. Of course, you'll get all the Easter eggs and the details that someone like me will miss out on if you already know these films. But there's still time. We've got a year to catch up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like from what we've seen at Universal Studios Beijing, which already has the franchise integrated, I mean, I'm like speechless just at that videos and I know nothing. Yeah. So we got to get ready.
So let's go on a rundown of the official information that's been released about the attractions that are going to be part of Isle of Berk. And the first one is Hiccup's Wing Gliders, which is an Intamin launched roller coaster. And the theme of this is that Hiccup has built a winged flying machine to help train us to ride a dragon. But unfortunately, it looks like Toothless accidentally launches it before it's totally ready to go. So instead of flying in the air, we're just going to kind of skim along the water and loop around the land. It hits speeds of 45 miles an hour. It's not an inversion heavy. I would think of this as like Velocicoaster Jr.
Yes.
It's a similar style, but not nearly as intense.
Right, yeah, I'm getting a Big Bear Mountain from Dollywood vibes. It's just like a beautiful terrain coaster, and I love the fact that it's going around the majority of the land. And if you look at one of the videos Universal Creative posted, it kind of shows the path it takes, and it's really weaving throughout. So what a cool vantage point to explore the land from a roller coaster.
And I think the way it's, you know, dodging around rocks, going under bridges, you know, splashing through the water, it's going to feel a lot faster than it is because it's going to be close to things. Yeah, we've got these great aerial photos, courtesy again of BioReconstruct. And you can really see how this, and even if you're not on the ride, it's going to really, you know, add kinetic energy to the land wherever you are. And I still love that they've got this helix here with these sheep that I don't know if they're statues or animatronics.
Yeah.
I'm eager to be the first person to do the sheep trick, just like the dynamite goat trick on Big Thunder Mountain in Disney.
Yes. Yeah, this is going to be a good one. But what I am most excited about is an adaptation of Universal Beijing's Untrainable show. So you probably, if you're a theme park person, you've probably seen videos online because it has kind of a show-stopping scene. But we're getting a version called the Untrainable Dragon.
Yes. So it's not going to be the exact same show that they have in China, but it's going to have similar technology with these giant puppets. They're a mix of puppets and animatronics, and it's basically a life-size flying dragon that will fly out off over the stage, over the heads of the audience, mixed with projection effects, giant video backdrops, music, dance, basically creating a Broadway quality show in the park. And I think this is going to be, you know, the big sleeper hit. This is going to be the one that people go home talking about, saying you have to see this show.
Absolutely.
And then what I love is that it's not just the big, you know, the big e-ticket coaster and show, but they've also got these kind of medium tier family rides that are, you know, closer to something that you might find in a regional park, but dressed up with universal level of theming. The first one is Fire Drill. And it's, you know, it's interesting to me that we don't have one of these in an Orlando theme park, as far as I know, because this splash battle style of interactive boat ride, very popular. We've got them in Legoland parks, got them in other regional parks all around the country. But I think this is the first one in a major Orlando park. So it's fun because there's no height requirement. As long as you can sit up on your own, you can ride. And it basically think of like Toy Story Mania or Buzz Lightyear, except with water cannons.
Yeah, these are so fun.
What could go wrong, right?
Yeah, I've done the Legoland one. Dollywood used to have one like this too. And it's just, it's so fun, especially it gets so hot in the summer. It's going to be so nice. It just kind of like cool off.
And a lot of them, they're basically going around a concrete ditch with minimal theming around them. But this, you're going to have all of these kind of homemade, handmade looking targets So you can practice putting out fires. And it really looks like a lot of fun. And then in addition to that, there's a ride that I'm pretty sure you're probably not going to go on. And I'm going to probably do it once just to say I did.
I will do it once, but I heard also I was reading it because there's other versions of this and it's like a learning curve for making it go, your vehicle go right. So I don't know.
Yeah. So Dragon Racers Rally is, it's what they call a flat ride, a pair of them. But there's not much that's flat about it. It's basically a pair of giant arms that have little gliders stuck on the end of them. And they spin around going up to 67 feet in the air. And each rider can kind of control their little glider vehicle and choose to try to fly level or flip upside down. But yes, it is definitely an acquired skill to try to get your correct orientation, especially without getting very motion sick.
I will not be having mead before going, but I guess I will try that.
That is a wise choice. That is a wise choice.
Or maybe so, yeah, just enough mead.
Yeah, in theory, you can choose to make this as wild or mild as you like. But I think even the mildest version, you're still soaring around, almost 70 feet in the air, hitting some high speeds. So this does not look for the, for the little ones. That's the little ones you're going to want to send to the Viking training camp.
Yeah, I'll hold the purses and your personal belongings while you go on it, and I will be in the play area, which I think is awesome. You know, I love seeing these play areas in parks. It's a good place to just, you think the rides are going to be what your kids want, but really they just want to run around.
Yeah,
if you've ever seen them at Epcot, it's always very popular, and Universal needs more of these, so this is great.
Every theme park needs at least one or two places where kids can just blow off steam in an unstructured way without having to wait in a queue. And Viking Training Camp looks like it's going to fit the bill for Epic Universe. The climbing structures looked very, very similar to what we're seeing going into the DreamWorks kid zone that's under construction right now in the studios, with some towers and bridges to climb around, but it's also got a lot of interactive areas, some slides, things to climb on, looks like it's got things for both little kids and slightly older kids, including an agility course, a teeter-totter, and some more.
Yeah, this looks quite involved, compared to a lot of other play areas.
Yeah, and one thing that I think might actually end up getting some of the longest lines is the Haddock Paddock meet and greet, because this is going to be your opportunity to meet Hiccup and Toothless and kind of recreate that iconic scene from the film. They talk about this in the Universal Creative video of putting your hand out and having Toothless the dragon nuzzle you. And getting that photo, because who doesn't want to be nuzzled by a dragon?
Oh, I would love to. And I've seen some videos. We have one up. He did briefly meet at Universal Hollywood. I think it was like 2019, somewhere around there.
Yes, prototype. Yeah. And I'm sure the one that we get in the park is going to be even more advanced and adorable than that one. In addition, there's going to be some walk-around characters, both Vikings and dragons roaming around the area freely. And something they've just teased, but they've mentioned dragons flying through the air. And it does look like there's work on some drone technology, possibly to have dragon drones, not unlike Disney once tried flying over the land. So that would be pretty.
It wouldn't be a week of news without some drone mention.
Yes, we got to have drones. So I know you are most eager to talk about the mead. Mead Hall is the main quick service dining hall that they are going to have, which is topped by this amazing Force Perspective Mountain. And this is where you can feast like a Viking on a savory menu of meat, fish, sandwiches, and more. Of course, you can also get mead. And, you know, I did not realize this until just recently, but they've already got mead at Universal Studios Hollywood in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter out there. Their Three Broomsticks serves mead. So I wonder if we're going to get something similar coming here.
Yes. I mean, and what I'm really excited about, this is going to be kind of like the main dining hall. Of course, there's other dining locations here, but the level of detail and theming inside is that level of like Harry Potter, Three Broomsticks.
Oh, yeah. Maybe even beyond. I mean, looking at the scale of the size of these people versus the size of the chandelier and the tapestries, this looks absolutely massive. In addition, as you mentioned, to the Mead Hall, there's also going to be the Spitfire Grill. That's a quick service dining location where the meat is flame seared by an unseen dragon fry cook. I'm assuming there's going to be some sound effects or maybe special effects implying that there's a dragon in the kitchen.
Yes, it's giving me Ronto Roasters vibe.
Yes,
we see the droid.
Yeah. There's also Hooligans, Grog, and Gruel. And of course, it's not a theme park land without merchandise opportunities, including Viking Traders, How to Treat Your Dragon Sweet Shop, Hiccup's Workshop, and Toothless's Treasures. If you can't wait for those shops to open, they've already got Isle of Berk merchandise available in Universal's Orlando's official online store at shop.universalorlando.com.
Yes, I guess we're going to have to collect each of these land pendants because
what
a cool souvenir. Yes, need it, want it, got it.
In addition, we've got some pictures of progress on the portal that is going to be your entryway into the land. Each land has its own portal, and this one has an inscription that reads, "We, my friends, have dragons."
Very literal, very straightforward to the point.
Got some, like said, great bioreconstruct aerial photography that you can line up exactly with the concept art. Amazing to see how close the finished product is coming to these renderings. And lots of videos and links to give you more detail. And speaking of more detail.
Yes.
So if you are super anal, obsessive theme park fans like we are, and you like poring over every inch of the concept art for little hidden bits, you need to head over to our website and read this article by Blake Taylor called Isle of Berk Details You May Have Missed in Epic Universe Reveal, because this really zooms in, and I mean zooms in, on some of the little hidden details. Great job, Blake, in digging up some of these. So this is the kind of microscopic details that super fans are going to get excited about. We talk a little bit about those possible drones and references in the concept art to those dragons, both flying over the land and flying over the audience in the Untrainable Dragon show. The version of Toothless that they're going to have in the show is going to weigh over 1,100 pounds and have a wingspan of 26 feet. Take that Disneyland, take that Disney's Fantasyland dragon that only ever appeared once.
He did a great job. I mean, he zooms in on like the merchandise collection, the chandelier in Mead Hall. I mean, there's just so many. It's like Where's Waldo to the umpteenth degree. We also, Universal posted, like, Kenan Thompson is in the
rendering. Yeah, that is my favorite little detail. So we've got a picture of, there are going to be dragons, both static ones and animated moving ones, as part of the landscape all throughout the land. And in the concept art for this one ice-breathing dragon, right in the corner, you're absolutely right. And Alicia Stella pointed out he participated in a marketing campaign for Universal years ago. And they basically took this photo of him and his family and flipped it around and stuck it in to.
Oh, it was that whoa campaign, and they're making like yes. the whoa faces in this.
Yes. So I hope they do not think that he will. People will do not think he will be appearing in the theme park every day, or maybe he's now contractually obligated to just hang out in the land all day. So yeah,
there's a lot of fun detail
to zoom in on these photos that Blake has done for us. And
I call that the Lord's work, because I don't have the patience for that.
Right. Absolutely. Little bits of story details that you can pick up on in the concept art for Hiccup's Winged Gliders. As well as a detail that a lot of folks didn't pick up, there's actually a different host, a different character is in charge of each attraction. Wing Gliders is Hiccup, but Dragon Racers Rally is themed after Snotlout, who is the worst dragon racer in the series. Fishlegs, who's the resident dragon expert, is in charge of the Viking training camp. And Roughnut and Toughnut reign over the fire drill boat battle.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. One question that Blake also pointed out, there's a little bit of inconsistency in some of the concept art of Dragon Racers Rally. Some of the artwork and depicts a shingled roof that is angled and that people could not get up on, but others depict a flat roof that looks like it might be an observation deck. My vote is not for an observation deck, because I don't think Universal wants people climbing up to any place they could fall off of, but
no,
that's my guess. Yeah. So if you are a How to Train Your Dragon fan and want to really dig into all of the details, including a rundown of all of the numbers, the acres, the square feet, the buckets, the barrels that are going into this project, head on over to attractionsmagazine.com and read this excellent article by Blake.
Yes. Yeah, so now I gotta know, regardless of what we think will come next, what do you wish we knew the details about next? What land of Epic Universe?
Oh, well, I'm all about the dark universe. I want to unveil the monsters. So that's what I am most excited about. My gut says they might be saving Harry Potter for last, but who knows? Who knows? We will see. They're going to definitely be rolling these out on a, you know, I thought we would have one in March, which we didn't get. I'm sorry, I thought we would have one for Mario in March, which we didn't get. So we'll have to see when they reveal that. But I think that by June or so, they're going to want to open up that preview center in CityWalk. And so we'll have most of this unveiled by this summer. That's my guess.
Wow, I hope so.
Yes, I hope so too, because I have to write a book about it.
Oh, no big deal.
Well, that just about brings us to the end of our main attraction. Before we wrap things up, we are going to hop back and take a look at some of your comments in the queues. And Michael Bingham is excited about meeting Toothless. He thinks How to Train Your Dragon is going to be amazing at Epic Universe. And like me, he hasn't seen the movie in a long time and needs to go back and watch it. His mom thanks us for the birthday wishes. So hope you had a great, great birthday.
Yes.
Yes. Clint is also pouring shame on us for not knowing, our How to Train Your Dragon lore. I'm sorry. I will catch up. I promise. And El Chapman, is chiming in to say that the boat battle ride in Legoland is excellent fun. His son loved it. I like that one. That was, I think, in Lego Movie Land, right? Lego Movie World.
Yes. Yeah. So cute.
I like that one too. And Michael Bingham's also ready to hear about Super Nintendo World too. So hopefully we'll have more news about Epic Universe and everything else coming to the theme park world soon. Before we go, We want to thank our sponsor, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, and we want to remind you, please hit like and subscribe and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you happen to listen to us. Be sure to follow us at attractionsmagazine.com. Search for Attractions Magazine on your favorite social media accounts. And Carly, where can folks find you on socials?
Yes, I am on Instagram at Adventures by Carly and on X at Carly Caramana.
I am on socials at Eskaburski and at The Unofficial Guides. And you can find copies of my books at theunofficialguides.com. Until next week, we hope you folks stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we will see you again next time. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.